Good evening. I'm calling the Mount Nooskaseisit School District School Board to order tonight. Is there a quorum?
We do have a quorum with President Dunleavy absent, absent and excused. Sarah Welton will be running the meeting tonight.
Thank you. Set our board goals. Mr. Cordero.
Vision: the Matsubara School District will be a model of excellence in teaching, learning, and engaging all students. Mission: Matsubara School District prepares students for success. Beliefs: we believe that all students can and want to learn. Success breeds success. The needs and the best interests of students drive all decisions. Stakeholders' participation is crucial to student success. Core values: stewardship, accountability, empathy, quality, integrity, efficiency, respect, lack of reprisal. Goals: we will improve student success, achievement, and performance by focusing on their career and college readiness. We will increase the graduation rate. Our schools will welcome families and community members in the education of our youth. We will create and maintain a safe and healthy environment for our students and staff. Annual objectives: accountability, assessed by quarterly metrics and timelines.
Thank you. Our flag salute tonight. Let us stand. Claudia Berkeley, can you please lead us? Claudia?
She's here. Yes.
Pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
That we come to the approval of the agenda. Do I hear a motion?
I make a motion that we approve the agenda.
I'll second.
Okay, motion was made by Mr. Lacey and seconded by Mr. Cordero. Is there any discussion, any changes, anything that needs to be? Is there any objection to the agenda as it stands? Hearing no objections, it passes unanimously. We move down to item 3, which is special recognitions, and I'm going to turn this over to Dr. Promo.
Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for filling the room tonight. We just don't have so many audience members at the board meeting, but today is a special day. My name is Dr. Caramo. I'm the superintendent of the Matsubara School District. And this summer, I worked with the board at the retreat, and they wanted to create something special for the students and staff of the Matsubara that make it the best school district in the state of Alaska. And we truly believe that, so give yourself a round of applause. Times a year to focus on the people that matter. You matter. Tonight I have the pleasure to announce about 14 different categories in which we're going to honor students. So these categories were queried. You were nominated by your principals or the news media or someone else to be part of this ceremony. So thank you very much, and we're going to share what you did with the world, I hope. So we'll put this online. So to that effect, I'd like to, our Vice President, Ms. Welton, will hand out certificates, as well as Mr. Gene Stone, Assistant Superintendent. So because we know that the achievement of individuals isn't an individual activity, if those around you or who support you in what you're doing would like to stand while the nominated person comes forward, we know that we would like to celebrate family or friends or whomever is here that made it possible for the achievement. So without further ado, let me start with a young lady from Mokaton Elementary School. Her name is Issa White. Can you please come forward? And if you help Issa
Oh, there you go, east side. Please stand. East side, do you want to turn and face the audience? Am I pronouncing your name okay? Ethan is a finalist in the McGraw-Hill Education Contest. This is my math. She was one of the 72 finalists of 2,400 entries that demonstrated what math means to a young artist through sculpture, drawing, painting, and photography. Ethan is a student at Mokotoms Elementary School in the STEM program. And what we must ask her is, what is your math, Ethan?
Middle School, and they submitted and worked very hard
on a program that you're probably familiar with, Choose Respect. You may have seen that in other media forms. But they were the finalists in the middle school competition for the entire state of Alaska, and they submitted the poster called Choose Respect. And may we see your poster?
Oh, yeah. It's actually on display in the admin building right now.
Oh,
and
they,
so we have one.
And this, of course, Choose Respect is a program for our governor, Mr. Sean Parnell. And so would you like to talk to Josie a little bit about this?
Are you in a picture thing?
Yeah.
Thank
you.
All right. So in choosing respect, what do you choose respect for? What does that mean to you? As a leader at home.
Honor.
Good job, and thank you for letting me put you on the spot. I know you're calling class of students. Congratulations. And congratulations.
She can't get through the screen. She has to advance. So she says, I'm going to can't get through the screen.
Okay, the next award is a Spirit of Youth recipient. If this student, Carol Denning, could please come forward. All right. Okay, so Carol is a Mattsu Central student, and she won a nomination for the Spirit of Youth Award, and it's dedicated, this award, to promoting and recognizing youth involvement in communities across Alaska. The Spirit of Youth began in 1997 as a way, a media-based project to show the good things that Alaska teens are doing. So Carol is an active Breathe Free Mattsu volunteer and was nominated in the Service to Community category. She helps educate her community about the dangers of secondhand smoke and is willing to go the extra mile for the event's success. And she is one of several Mattsu students nominated for the Spirit of Youth. So congratulations. What is the toughest thing to communicate about a smoke-free Alaska?
Letting people get to know, like, knowing that smoking is bad for you, and just telling people about it is kind of hard.
Thank you for going the extra mile for the young lung young so
Mattsu.
Okay, the next award, I'd like Kevin Williams to come forward, please. Kevin has received a special honor. This is a top honor, actually, across the nation. Kevin has taken several, as you know, college preparatory exams, and across the country, they query, without really the students knowing, they query the results and then offer the students who certainly excel academically scholarships and prestigious awards. And Kevin is a presidential scholarship nominee, and he is from Colony High School. And in our district of over, I think we have about 1,200 seniors, we have three, and he is one of them. So congratulations. The next recipient, Ben Evans, please come forward. And I forgot to say that Kevin is a Colony High School student. Okay. This young man, also Ben Evans, is a Colony High School student. And Ben is also one of those finalists for the Presidential Scholarship. He was also
also nominated for the National Merit Scholarship, which is a highly regarded, coveted award, again, for his academic prowess. He's in that too at Colony High School. So, congratulations. Will be brought back in the spring when it's awarded that they won. All right, thank you. And we did have a third student, again from Colony High, but he couldn't make it. So, without further ado, I love the folks that always sit in the front of the class. That's probably why they're top class from Glacier View School. Please come forward. These young men and women and their coaches, were certainly awarded a great honor. They are state champions in the mixed six volleyball in the state of Alaska. So we hold quite a few state champions, but this was our very first, I believe, at Glacier View School. And these players probably are your volleyball players, your basketball players, your band kids, every kid in the school. I've visited, and I've seen quite a few of these folks play instruments and sing beyond belief. So they are certainly academics and athletes. So congratulations.
Two captains. Jenny and Trayton.
Where are Jenny and Trayton?
Jenny is right here, and Trayton is right here.
And would you two like to say something about your team?
I couldn't be happier to be on this team. I mean, it meant a lot to me to go to state 2 years in a row, and just I could really take it to win.
And one thing we're trying to do in Madison is in an older school, it has some of those rubberized gym that has bubbles in it. And so we went to the legislator just the last 2 days and asked them,
we couldn't have done any of this without our fans. Could I have all the Glacier New fans please stand up?
Oh, woo! American Charter Academy, won a design ad campaign that is run by the Chrysler Corporation, so it is a national ad. It's the Van Pool Service Incorporated, called VPSI, and it's a subsidiary of Chrysler, a commuter Van Pool's marketing strategy. And what these students did is they worked on their own time for almost a year to design posters and produce an original video, magnets, buttons, and et cetera, all kinds of media gadgets for Van Pool's national ad campaign. The campaign will be used on the Van Pool's nationwide website, as well as given out nationwide. So the work that they did here in your schools in Meadow Lake, Alaska, is going to be all over the country. So the banner ad is currently running on the Frontiersman's web page. And if you'd like to state your name, since I don't have up here.
Robert Fothier.
Matt Lewis. Okay, so congratulations to these students. How'd you come up with your idea?
We had a lot of kids who wanted just ideas from different groups.
A lot of teamwork. And you are a national winner, so congratulations.
Thank you.
drill team from Colony High please come forward? Well, let me tell you something. Okay. With Colony High Drill Team, I actually was able to go see some awards for competition, and I'm going to love on them a little bit because there are 8 ROTC or JROTC programs in Anchorage and one here in our valley, and our cadets took first, second, and third place. So out of the 9 squads, Colony High School Drill took this first place in exhibition unarmed drill and second place in regulation unarmed and exhibition armed drill where they had the wooden guns. Third place in the first year color guard, and they won the overall in the unarmed drill category, allowing them to advance to the regional drill competition in Torrance, California. So they're moving on to compete nationally. What's that? Oh, that's why they're here. They're in Torrance, California. Winning that award, I'm sure. They left to go compete, but I have seen them compete. They are phenomenal. I've seen them at other award ceremonies, so they're asked quite often for their community service, and those young leaders go out and perform. And the top cadet last year, for the whole state of Alaska, all JROTCs, was actually from Colony High, young lady. So we know that program is stellar, and thanks to Colony High and everybody's done it. Okay, next I have what they call Kings of the Mat. Would these gentlemen please come forward? Luke Wagner from Houston High School. Tyler Adams from Wasilla High School. Abe Fox from Wasilla High School. And Ty Farber from Colony High School. These young gentlemen are the kings of the mat. They recently, within 2 weeks, competed at the state level for wrestling. And our first person I brought up, Luke, is a student at Houston High School, which wrestled in the 1, 2, and 3A. And he, it's funny, wrestling is where you pleasurably give the weight to the person. In the 220-pound title, took first place. And if you've ever seen a wrestling meet, or I hope that you can go, it is one of the most intense competitions. And I would say that a very individual discipline sport. So congratulations, Luke. These gentlemen were called up separately because their schools are larger, so they compete in the 4A state champion. And at 145 pounds, Tyler Adams from Wasilla High School took first place in the state in the 4A champion. So congratulations. And this young gentleman took first place for Wasilla High School in the 120-pound competition. And this young gentleman, Ty Farber, took first place in the 220-pound champion from Colony High School. We have 220-pound state winners. If we had a little more time, we could see who really... are any of you guys seniors, or what are your grades? Three guys and sophomores. So we have some great athletics coming up, and wish you guys luck in your post-secondary athletics. So congratulations. Also, sitting up front, we have to note, right here in their alma mater, Palmer High School, would the Palmer High School hockey team please come forward? All right. These gentlemen are some of the gentlemen that played on the North Star Conference title hockey team. And I bet that the biggest I guess, success that they had, hope I don't offend anyone else, was that they got revenge for the Potato Bowl. They beat Wasilla in an exciting match. I think the most exciting match of the competition down in Kenai, I believe. Was that correct? The evening we had bad roads, so the whole day built up because we couldn't get them down there on the day that they could get down because the pass was closed. But they had an excellent competition, and they carry the title for the North Star Conference, which they believe is a little bit above the Potato Bowl. All right, what would you like to say?
We just want to say thanks to our community, to our school. We definitely couldn't have done it without the help of you guys, the school board, as well as all the people in the public, the games, Paul and Lions, the love for the money, the tickets, our fans, and the ladies. It was a lot of fun.
Excellent. And as you know, if you're a hockey parent, you put a lot of investment of your time and finances into your child early on to get the skills that these gentlemen have. So congratulations, and way to go, Palmer Moose. We could say their names.
Yeah, okay. Thomas, Miles, George, how about
and I did hear something else. This is the team of the
mullet.
I just heard that. Okay. We'll get a chance. They might have mixed up and we'll get back. All right. Next, we actually have a couple of the next, actually, three awards are awards given to staff members for excellence in education. And I'd first like to announce and have teacher Kate Patterson come forward with her principal. Her principal has the hardware.
That's why I needed to come forward.
Kate Patterson is an exceptional teacher in the Matsubara School District. She teaches music to probably thousands of kids already who perform at higher levels. She's an elementary music teacher currently at Cottonwood Creek Elementary School. However, her award was given as a recipient of the Palmer Arts Council 2012 Lifetime Achievement Award. And this is given not only for what Kate does from her day job during the day, providing music education to hundreds of children, thousands who have received her tutelage, but she also volunteers her time in the community. I know that, I'm not sure if you're doing this still, but she,
yes, I do.
Yes. the orchestra, she's the conductor for the orchestra. Our board has seen her many times. She is the director for the handbell choir. She's well known across the Matsubara, and she's most well known for giving her talent to music and just sharing that with hundreds of people. So congratulations, Kate Patterson, and thank you for working in Matsubara. Know that this next award is another Cottonwood Creek Teacher Award, and if Miss Lisa McKay can come forward. Miss McKay is a third grade teacher at Cottonwood Elementary School, and she was nominated and won Teacher of the Year from the VFW. I have a chapter, just so you know. The chapter 39365 in Wasilla, run by Alice Minnick. So of all the teachers that were nominated, they queried and researched the teachers, and Ms. McKay, deserving of the award. She's an excellent teacher. She teaches to all kids, so it doesn't matter if your skills are in the first quartile, the fourth quartile, you will learn in this class. So, congratulations. Thank you. okay. And I hope everybody stays for cake. So last but not least, we'd like to say we saved some of our best for last. We have two National Board Certified Teachers, and I would like them to come forward, and then I'll explain a little bit about what a National Board Certification means. So Margaret Kelly from Houston High School and Bob Williams from Colony High School. Two for two tonight, Bob. Okay, so before you, you have our two newest nominees for the National Board Certification. Please know that the National Board Certification is above and beyond a high or a college degree, if you will, for education and your certificate from the state. These teachers have put in hundreds of hours to better their skills as teachers. They've written documents, dissertations, if you will, somewhat, on education, as well as they were filmed teaching, and they are rated by others on the outside. So a third-party assessment, if you will, of the highest educators in the nation chose these two members to be part of National Board Certification, which is the highest honor in a certification for a teacher. So congratulations from Houston, Margaret Kelly, and Colony High School, Bob Williams. Thank you very much. And I believe Matt Sue has quite a bit, actually not a bit, but we have, what I'd like to say, many, many teachers, and we have other board certified teachers in our program, and we actually provide incentives for 10 teachers, okay. And there's actually an incentive that we provide these teachers because we value the efficacy and the achievement that they receive. So they're actually paid an additional stipend for their work, extra work. All right.
Hey, this is one full boardroom, and it's really great when we get to have an opportunity to just celebrate everybody and recognize the great things that so many kids do. We have, like Dr. Brummel says, I think we have the best district in the state, and I think we compete with folks throughout the nation, too. So, again, thanks for coming to celebrate.
And I'd like to take one more moment, if our board could please stand. And I wanted our board to know, and everyone in the audience to know, they don't know that they're standing for anything, but other than
it is, they never know what they're doing, yeah.
You have to wrestle board it. No. Recognition Month, and I just would invite you to assist me in thanking the Matt Sue Borough School District School Board for their efforts for children and staff as well in Matt Sue Borough School District.
Thank you all. We will now take a recess until 6 o'clock so that we can all mingle with each other and have some cake. Our ROTC presentation is going to happen tonight, so we're going to come back to order a little bit sooner than I had announced, and we will continue with the special recognition.
Ladies and gentlemen, I'd like to take the opportunity to correct an error that was made earlier. The ROTC team, drill team, had been notified to show up later than we had originally planned. So it was an error of the district. And to correct that, we, as Ms. Welton said, are going to bring them in. I want to announce, remember, that these students won the overall in the unnamed drill category, allowing them an advance to the regional drill competition. And they actually leave Thursday for that competition this weekend. So without further ado, ladies and gentlemen of the Matt Sue Borough School District, please stand for the Colony High School ROTC.
come in. And it was with our honor, our Vice President of the School Board, Sarah Welch, and I, to honor you tonight. And it's quite evident that you won, and why you won, first place in the exhibition Unarmed Drill, second place in Regulation Unarmed and Exhibition Armed Drill, third place in First Year Color Guard, and again, they won the overall unnamed drill category, allowing them to advance to regional drill competition in Torrance, California. I want to congratulate our soldiers-to-be from Colony High School. And you are the... you're the XO? Okay, so if you'd like to say a few words about your team.
Actually, I would like to direct it to what you see. He's standing right in the middle. Italian commander.
Just a couple things is last year was probably our best year at state. We have been following up this year as well, but we definitely have been giving, we've been giving it our all, and obviously that has been enough to bring us down to California. This is the first year that we're actually, that Tech Command is having a national drill competition with all of the ROTC schools having a chance to be part of it, and we earned that honor to be part of 8th Brigade, which hopefully later will earn us the right and the honor to go down to Fort Knox, Kentucky to be part of the national team. Like I said, this is the first annual one, and hopefully in the years coming, we will also be able to participate.
As you see, Mrs. Wallace is a leader, much better spoken than I, and I'd like to say thank you to the leadership at Colony High School, First Sergeant Gobert and Colonel Pia. Thank you very much, and fine young soldiers you have.
Thank you all. If the drill team would like to come and get some cake, there's plenty of it here for them. We can take a 2-minute recess while they come back in to get cake. Thank you.
Thank you.
Choir trip.
Item 4, which is persons to be heard on non-agenda items. For non-agenda items, the speaker states his or her name for the record. The speaker is limited to 3 minutes per meeting. The speaker is limited to non-agenda items. Agenda items will be open for public comment as they appear on the agenda. The speaker's comments should be appropriate for all audiences, including school-age children. The speaker is limited to comments of a general nature, positive or negative, which may not be attributable to any specific individual. Issues involving concerns specific to any single individual should be submitted in writing and given to the board clerk to be resolved. The issue may be determined to be appropriate for persons to be heard or may be handled in executive session or may be routed through a more appropriate complaint process. No disturbance or willful interruption of any board meeting shall be permitted. Persistence by an individual or group shall be grounds for the chair to terminate the privilege of addressing the meeting. The board may remove disruptive individuals and order the room cleared if necessary. This is not a question and answer time. Speakers may be referred to the superintendent or designee or take the issue under advisement. Maximum of 1 hour per meeting. We will do the first half hour now. Member Poucher, do we have anybody signed up?
Yes, the first person signed up is Jill Schulman.
My name is Jill Schulman, and I'm the president of the Matsu Education Association. I'm here to talk to you about the current high school seven-period day schedule. Last year, as you well know, the district conducted meetings with some administrators and teachers. The current schedule was enacted this year, and there were some tweaks made to it to make it a little bit better. However, know that it's not what's best for students. You've heard from the educators about the schedule via email, phone calls, face-to-face, and know that during the next few board meetings, you'll have the opportunity to hear from teachers as well. During the past 2 months, MSEA members have created a committee to survey colleagues. The discussion has been recursive and reflective on the art and science of teaching. In an email that I sent to you yesterday with the survey results, I just want to go over a few of those. 82.24% believe that the seven-period day is hurting the ability of struggling students to succeed. 90.53% do not believe that the implementation of the seven-period day was either collaborative, transparent, or honest. And 80.36 believe that the schedule has impacted educators' ability to connect with students. We know that that connection is important as students either stay in school or decide to drop out. Like I said, you'll have the opportunity to hear from educators who are in the classroom themselves. I believe that they signed up here tonight, and look forward to hearing their testimony. Thank you.
The next person is Tim Walters.
My name is Tim Walters. Good evening. I have one of the greatest jobs in the world. I teach science at Wasilla High. I'm pretty passionate about this, guys. You know, when I always tell my students, every year they hear it multiple times from me, that they have their entire lives ahead of them. And plain and simple, they're the best investment we as a society can make, flat out. They're our future, and they've heard this story time and time again, that when I'm old and retired, they will run the world, and that's the truth. They're the best investment we can make. I emailed every one of you a few weeks ago and asked some very simple questions about whether or not you'd be supporting a substantive increase from the borough in funding and whether or not you'd be asking for a real increase in the base student allocation. And I do appreciate the few responses I received, but they still didn't answer my question. Well, again, I'm here to ask you to please support a substantive increase and adequate funding for our schools. You're all elected officials, and that I understand. And I know some may be seeking, I know asking for more money can be a political suicide for an elected official. But I'm sorry, my kids deserve it. The students in my classroom deserve it. I'm sure every teacher feels the same way about the students in their classroom. Parents feel that their kids flat out deserve the best education. And, I mean, still, the back of people's name tags say, you know, what's best for kids? Cutting staff and increasing class sizes, which is where the budget is headed, is not best for kids. I mean, it is that teacher connection that makes the difference. That's not what's best for kids. Look, if you actually try and advocate for real funding, not the 3% and not $125 from the state, we know that's going to result in a lot of layoffs and cuts. If we try to do that as a district and vocally, you publicly ask for that funding and it doesn't come through, well, then the stink is on the borough and the state. But if you don't try, it's on you. So I don't think that stack 'em deep and teach 'em cheap is really a model of excellence in teaching, in learning, and engaging all students. I think that's the vision of the district. So please, please ask yourself, who are we really here to represent? If it's the students and education, please do the right thing. Thank you.
Nancy Podaski.
Good evening. My name is Nancy Podgorski, and I teach English at Colony High School. I appreciate this opportunity to share my story. I've only been a high school teacher for 6 years. However, my education career started almost 15 years ago in 1997 at Kent State University in Ohio. Go Golden Flashes. When I was given a teaching fellowship while working on my graduate degree in the foundations of education. They gathered all of us newly hired teaching fellows in a room for half a day, and we were trained to be teachers. The following Monday, I faced a room full of undergraduate pre-service teachers who had registered for my class, the History of Education, and that's how it all started. I've never looked back or had any doubts about my career choice until recently. I enjoy many aspects of my career as an educator, my excellent colleagues, the supportive administration at Colony, and of course the students who give me gray hair, more gray hair, but who also make me want to go to work each day. However, I'm facing a difficult decision. Quite simply, I'm wondering if I can continue to do this job and be effective. I got into the secondary education game late because of my 9 years of university teaching, and at 45 years of age, I'm looking at a minimum of 15 more years of teaching before I can even begin to think about retirement. I'd like to spend those years right here in the Mat-Su Borough School District, and specifically at Colony, because I feel I have become part of both communities. I don't pretend to understand the complexities of public school finance. I only know that there never seems to be enough money, and even in this growing district, cuts in staff are a never-ending reality. But adding 34 more sophomores to my workday this year has not made me a more effective or efficient teacher. That's 34 more students for whom I am responsible, 110 sophomores altogether for me this year, who have to pass the high school qualifying exam in a few months. It's a daunting prospect for me. Back at Kent State, my pre-service teachers and I used to read and discuss articles about the many drawbacks of the factory model of education, and here we are 15 years later implementing the factory model of education and expecting different results. I'm not producing seatbelts as I did one summer in my undergraduate years. I'm trying to produce proficient readers and writers, 165 of them in total this year. The treadmill has been turned on high. I'm running as fast as I can, but I'm afraid I can't keep up this pace, and I may have to drop out of a field that I have loved ever since that first day in my history of education class. I hope there will be more discussion about the drawbacks of the 7-period day and the adverse effects it is having on our students and staff. Thank you for your time.
I'm afraid I'm going to really kill this one. Armand Cabo Seth?
It's Amanda Cabo Seth.
You need to check your handwriting.
I'm Amanda Cabo Settle, and I teach math at Colony High School. I currently work about 60 to 70 hours a week on top of raising two children. One who I spend about an hour and a half every night working on her homework on top of all my planning and everything else. I still have to go home and work with her on her stuff and plan other stuff. So I'm going to try and make this quick. I wanted to speak about my concerns and consequences about the 7-period day also. I currently teach 3 of the lower level math classes at Colony High School. I teach informal geometry and keys classes. The students in these classes are struggling really hard to handle the workload that comes with the 7-period day. Overall, these students are less successful in their classes. They're overwhelmed by the amount of content that 7 classes now imposes on them versus the 6 classes that they had before when they were struggling and not being successful. I've seen struggling students hit a high level of frustration and completely shut down more frequently than they ever did before. And at that point, they become big-time behavior issues, and it really tears up any type of time that we have left in the classroom, which this year, that amount of time has drastically reduced. The strategies I use to motivate and teach concepts are not as successful this year as they have been for the last 10 years or 11 years of teaching. I'm also concerned about our guaranteed and viable curriculum. I spent many hours working on our guaranteed and viable curriculum, which is kind of thrown out the door with the lack of time that we have. And I believe that it's the quality of education that we need to be looking at, along with the time that we have to provide that quality education. Please reconsider this decision. Remember that the quality is important and our students deserve better. Thank you.
Jeff Boker.
My name is Jeff Boker. I've been teaching in the Valley since 1989 when I first got my first job as an educator. I have my administrative credentials for several years now, but I've not moved from the classroom because I am passionate about what I'm doing there. While some teachers grow weary of the classroom after 23-plus years, I've continued to be energized by it, last year being nominated and honored with the Valley's BP Teacher of Excellence Award. That was last year. I began this year the same way, excited about seeing my students, meeting each one, teaching and connecting with every one of them. But within the first week, the reality of the seven-period day had set in, and by now it is clear that no amount of tweaking it, as we were first encouraged to do, is going to remedy it. Like my colleagues, I'm dealing with the fallout of a simple numbers game that has impacted the classroom in ways that most people cannot understand, realities that do not translate well when pushed around on a sheet of paper instead of considering the real human beings who are impacted. On paper, it just shows that it saves dollars. What it does not show are the other costs, the cost in lost personal connections, less effective teaching methods, larger class sizes, less time for students to get help when they need it. I'm a numbers guy, so let me offer a few. Last year, I had 130 students in my six-period day. This year, I have 52 more students. Adding one class did not add 25 or 30 or even 35 students. With the increased PTR, one class made me responsible for 52 more lives. That translates to 52 more student papers to score, grades and attendance to input, families with whom to communicate, 52 more people with real lives and real questions, parent conferences on teacher conference days, names to learn, missing pencils, books, potential behavior issues to head off or deal with. It also means an additional class to plan. All of this meaning I have a great deal more to do with far less time to do it. My students are frustrated because I am less available to help them than ever before. Meanwhile, I'm drained because I've tried to keep doing what I've always done, but there's just not enough of me to go around. My effectiveness as a teacher has been negatively impacted by the equation of more students and less teaching time. My strengths have always been my ability to connect with students and to convey the content knowledge to them in a way they understand. As classes have been shortened to squeeze in the seventh class, there is little time for reteaching, for using non-traditional teaching methods, or even to get through the pacing guides that were fit for a six-period day. The seven-period day is undermining my greatest strengths. It is the first educational change enacted by this district in my nearly 25 years as an educator that has made many of my colleagues and I feeling that years are being taken off the longevity of our careers. I realize that there are budgetary constraints. I respectfully urge the school board to look for other options that will have less detrimental and severe impact on student achievement and teacher effectiveness to solve these problems. My first thought is to lobby for full funding from the borough, but repealing the seven-period day would be the most educationally sound decision that could be made to look out for the long-term needs of our students and staff. Thank you.
Brittany Goss.
Good evening. My name is Brittany Goss, and tonight I'll be speaking on behalf of a few parents from Wasilla High School. These parents I'm speaking for have children that were once part of the drumline class after school. This drumline met after school for an hour every Monday, Tuesday, and Thursday all through first semester, and this class counted for a half a credit for that semester. However, at the beginning of this semester, this class began having attendance issues until it became frequent for only two or three of their 17 students to show up. So the instructor decided to stop having this count as a credit and become a club. Then as of 2 weeks ago, around January 30th, the club was no longer meeting after school anymore. The problem these parents have isn't that the drumline at Wasilla is over. It's the fact that the parents only found out over the past few days that the class their children have been going to is no longer taking place. These parents would like to have something set up to where if a change like this takes place, they are notified, either with a letter or a simple phone call. A canceled class is not a notice that should be left to the students to handle. It should be dealt with by the people running it. Thank you for your time.
There's no one else signed up on the list. Is there anyone else who wishes to speak? Please state your name for the record.
My name is Kathleen Yurbich. I have four children who attend the Matsu schools. After attending the budget meeting and listening to the plan for next year, I have concerns. My neighborhood school is slated to lose two teachers next year. They are currently operating with two teachers per grade level right now. If you implement and slate and cut those two teachers, my son is facing a possible 4 or 5 classroom. This means that the teacher will be teaching fourth grade curriculum and fifth grade curriculum. So what's going to happen is she's going to get up there and she's going to teach for a portion of the time to half the class. She's going to finish teaching the fourth grade curriculum and she's going to say, okay, turn herself and teach to the other half of the class. As she's turning, she's hoping that the students in the first half have learned what she needed to teach, do not have any questions, and are going to behave themselves while she's teaching the other half of the classroom. I think it's a cut that will just detrimentally affect my son and the rest of the students at Finger Lake Elementary. Last year, we lost a hardworking, wonderful librarian. And as parents, we commiserated on the sidelines, said, ugh, tough. But we moved on this year, and we said, okay, now they're talking about cutting a little bit of PE and music. I say no more cuts. As I'm listening to the budget meeting, I appreciated all the stats. I appreciated that information. But the formula is broken. The way that we are allocating funds to our schools in the Matsu Valley is a broken formula. I ask that the school board does something to fix the formula. Whether it takes legislation or something else, I say fix the formula because our schools cannot go on with making cuts year after year. I was amazed sitting there at the budget meeting to hear references to California schools, where they have cut the PE, cut music, cut library, of course, and their test scores have gone up with increased schools class sizes. We are not California. California is a mess. We are the great state of Alaska. We have never followed in anybody else's path. We have blazed trails on our own. We should never compare ourselves to California. I say no more cuts and blaze a trail positively in the future for our children. Thank you.
Is there anyone else who wishes to come forward at this time? Hearing none, we'll close that part of the meeting. So we're down to item 5, which is borough and city reports. Are there any borough or city reports? Okay. Moving on, we are down to administrative reports.
Thank you. Vice President, thank you. Yes, we do are going to touch on our two items. To provide an update on the information. The first is capital projects. After I do a brief
introduction, I'm going to request that Assistant Superintendent Forrest fill in the detail. Please know that last Tuesday night I did present to the Assembly $163 million worth of approved projects from the October ballot for the bond, and so that we were overjoyed with that, which looks as though the Assembly may go out for about $100 million this first year to get some projects started this summer. And Mr. Forrest and I were in Juneau. We did go by the office and thank the person in EED responsible for pushing through those projects so quickly. Our goal was to get these projects started so that children can get in new buildings as early as they can, and, of course, so that we can begin building this summer. And, Mr. Forrest, can you please comment on the additional projects?
Yes, we been in conversation with Mr. Sam Keto from DEED again today, and it does appear that by next week we'll have approval on all projects approved by the voters in the bond, with the exception of the playground and technology equipment for the charter schools and Barry Osava. And the reason for that is they're on leased property at the present time, even though we have one school that is a borough building. The current regulations prohibit charter schools from receiving bond funds. It was a combination of the way the borough passed the ballot language requiring the 70-30. So between the state regulations and the borough ballot language, we won't be able to obtain those funds at the present time. We still have 4 more years to work on it.
We do have a Plan B, which is part of the legislative packet, to honor the bond and what went into the bond with those schools. We have provided in our legislative packet to request a direct appropriation for those projects, and Mr. Forrest and I shared that with our delegation. We also shared about the process, which makes it very difficult because our the manner in which you can receive 70-30 funding or even 60-40 funding is the amount of kids in your district according to the amount of space. All of our kids count in the amount of kids, no matter what school they attend, a neighborhood school, a special mission school, or a charter school. However, so they count with the district, but due to statutes, they cannot go out to 70-30 bonds. So it's almost a double negative, if you will. So we shared the process and that maybe some changes can be made that in the state formulas so that we could go to bond on something like a 70-30. Because the children do actually qualify in the district under the space allotment. So we're just shared that struggle with the statute. In addition, we did request the $450,000 to make that piece of the bond whole with our voters and constituents.
In addition to that, we were the project managers at the borough and the purchasing department have informed us that the $33 million bond passed a year ago. The items will all be out to bid for summer work. This work, that's $26 million in roof repairs, $4 million in carpet repairs. 10 schools will have their fire alarms updated, and 3 schools will have ADA parking lot enhancements. And I want to point out again that this money cannot be used to fund teachers. It is separate money. It's one-time money. It's bond. It's capital money. And therefore, we cannot do anything except these approved projects.
The next item is a budget update. I'd like to share that we did complete 4 regional, if you will, budget meetings. They were advertised on the websites and then through schools. One took place last Monday evening at Swanson Elementary School. Tuesday, we had the budget meeting in Sioux Valley. Wednesday, it was at Birch Tree Charter School. and then Thursday at Kinnick Elementary. The presentations, of course, were followed. They followed the board presentation that was delivered in Willow on February 1st. They have been updated. The website has been redesigned to easily access all documents for you, for staff and community to look at what is out there. Of course, we still remain in the same place. We do, a budget is essentially the plan for your revenue, what's expected, and your plan for your expenditures. And as we know, and we've heard testimony this evening, that we have a better handle, if you will, or knowledge about our expenditures. We do know what it will cost to keep our programs operating in MATSU, similar to this year, in FY13, which is next school year. However, the money that it will take is increasing by about, in operation alone, not including transportation, about over $8.5 million. And so we are in a bit of a bind. We do not know what the state will provide. We do not know at this time what our borough will provide, and we do not know if we will see relief on the transportation bill. All of these items are still in action down in Juneau, if you will. I guess the trouble in providing a balanced budget by April 1st to the assembly, it's not going to look good, because the pieces that need to go into that puzzle, if you will, of that whole plan are not in place. And the session actually ends after the time in which we would need to present a budget. It was mentioned earlier, it will cause some anxiety. I believe that the manner in which we do budgeting in Alaska causes anxiety. It's kind of built into the system. When a balanced budget is due, it is illegal to present an imbalanced budget. Prior to the revenues being disclosed, we have a bind. And our school board, of course, is legally held responsible to provide a budget to the assembly that is balanced. Therefore, it will have a reduction in staff. We did reduce staff last year in our district due to increased costs without revenue increasing at the same rate by 125 FTE. And we made some changes. We had to make changes that provided an education to the kids with the choices they need to graduate. This year may seem similar. It will go through. I'm an optimist. Mr. Forrest and I study this all day long, every day, make calls, do what we can to provide this board and our community the most updated information. But at this time, the budget is the similar. And then once the pieces come in, whether it's on the Senate Bill 182, which will help with transportation, or the House and Senate bills in regard to BSA, or information about our borough, once those are received, I will guarantee they will be immediately placed into our budget documents. With that, there was a request at last meeting in regards to how much, when we talked about the budget, we shared the operational side. There was a request to find out, well, how much grant money is our district receiving? There's two types of grants that we do receive. One is an entitlement grant. Others are competitive grants. We're going to provide you the information so that you can have it in next board meeting. Please be sure to request any or ask any questions. We'll have these data also posted and available. The other request was to find out how much revenue, how much money, if you will, goes into staffing at the district office. And we did provide those data as well, and they will be posted for the public as well on our budget site. They are divided into people costs and, I guess, product or supply costs. All the supplies that run for textbooks and things like that run through the instruction department. So you'll see the supplies. They are broken down between, like I said, employee compensation and non-compensation. And then they are broken down once again into direct support to schools and indirect support to schools. An example of each would be a direct support to school would be perhaps a teacher that is funded through a code at Special Student Support Services under Director Lucy Hope. She directs the program, but the teacher actually performs the service in the school. That would be a direct support to schools. An indirect support to school would be an example of a teacher, which we call TOSA, a teacher on special assignment. We have a teacher on special assignment that directs the assessment, the statewide assessment, SBAs and HSGQEs, as well as AIMS, WEB, and MAP. So we actually have a teacher assist with the direction of that. And so that would be an indirect service to a school. Further under those, on many of our direct services and indirect services, those funds or those positions, some of them are grant funded and others are through the general fund. So you have quite a bit of information, and it's similar to a kind of a fact factoring, if you're familiar with math, that you start with the big fund, which is admin building. It breaks off into two branches, employee compensation, non-compensation. Each one of those breaks off into two branches, direct support to schools, indirect support to schools. And then each of those breaks off into grant funded or not grant funded. So this is the cost of your district office. 2/3 of the cost of the district office is direct support to schools, and 1/3 is an indirect support to schools, meaning that the teachers there don't actually work in schools. And I present these. They'll be made available in addition to all the grants that we receive. We actually have some pretty great teacher grant writers that are able to do really neat things with kids at schools. Remember, that is different than entitlement, which comes from state government or federal government. An example of an entitlement would be a Carl Perkins, that we receive the Carl Perkins grant for career and technical education on the number of students that we have in our district and programs. However, those are directed specifically to tasks that those teachers must complete. Director Ray DePriest does the paperwork to continue to receive those funds. If we don't follow the guidelines, we do not receive the funds. That is, unless there's any questions, I know that you might need to be with this data for a while to understand it. We tried to set it up as easily as possible to understand. But we staff is always open daily to answer questions as well, and we can set up a work session at the board's desire next time, because I do know it's quite a bit of data, Ms. Vice President. Thank you.
Okay. Is there any member of the board who wishes to ask questions at this time? Member Patrick.
We heard today just now from people talking about the seven-period day, and I was wondering if you could just kind of run down how that happened for those in the audience who may not have been here or people listening. Can you tell us about the seven-period day, why we made the changes, and how that's going?
I'm not sure that that's germane to the reports here, but I would say let's hold that for comments at the end. Member Larson.
Looking at page 5 of 5 of this report, at the very bottom, those percentages in yellow, starting at direct support for schools under grant funded, that means that the 9.8 and the 5.1 just in that first section are grant funded. Is that correct?
Yes.
And that's a breakdown all the way across where it'll go to 100% total?
Yes.
And the two boxes at the end through the vice president, that $38 million $191,713.53 is broken down into the two boxes at the bottom. The total direct support to schools is $24,345,504.04, which is 63.7%. I rounded it up when I said two-thirds. And then indirect support to schools, with items like the assessment coordinator, things like that, are $13,846,209.49, which is 36.3% of the funds. The lion's share of the indirect support, if you look above, is for non-compensation. We'll need to fix that. Non-compensation expenses. And really, it's really in the form of supplies. Quite a bit of money came through for career and tech for supplies at schools buying new equipment this year with that money, in addition to textbook supplies. So when we looked at where is the supplies and equipment, all this these funds, they were generally in those two areas, career and technical education and instruction.
Member Larson?
Rough estimate, about 45% is grant funded, and is that about right at the central office? Or is it higher?
It's a little higher.
I didn't have my calculator.
It's close, though.
Close.
Any other questions?
Thank you.
I would point out that some of the other indirect costs are state mandated requirements or federal mandated requirements. So even though you don't receive funding, you have a mandate to provide the service and or reports, such things as the student accounting system. As you'll see, IT is one of the most expensive items here. And most of that's dedicated to maintaining the student accounting system, which is a state mandate on how we report. Payroll is a mandated service, et cetera, et cetera.
Mr. Larson.
Just one quick question to you then. Is this what we've talked about in the past, the unfunded mandates from various laws and regulations that are passed through? So they passed the law, for instance, to maintain that budgetary scenario into a high degree, but they don't fund it. I mean, it just comes out of the general fund.
There are regulations which absolutely drive our cost up. Yes, sir. Absolutely.
Okay. Thank you.
Through the Vice President, one of those is why we went to our bond and put some of the ADA upgrades that we need to do by law, which is going to be assistance in the bond. But had we not received that bond, we would have had to make those upgrades anyway, and it would have come out of operational money. So that's why we went for that grant money and bond money, so it comes from capital rather than operational funds.
Any other comments or questions? All right. Student Advisory Board report. Member Mitchell.
Good evening. I just have a brief report tonight. Student Advisory Board met at Wasilla Middle School on February 8th, and during this meeting we finalized all of our remaining things for our leadership conference, and our keynote speaker has been confirmed. Judge Cutler will be speaking on ethical leadership for the conference. We also had registration online this year. The registration form was on the district website, so it was really easily accessible to lots of people. So that was that'll be a lot more convenient for us on the first day. We also had Mr. Brett Hill come, and he spoke to us about Edmodo, like the creation and how people are starting to use it. I know at school some of my teachers already use it, and it's so convenient for students. And so that was really interesting to hear his speak. And our next, the leadership conference will be on the 21st. It's going to be at Colony High School. Anyone and all of you are welcome to come and attend. We would love that. And also our next regular student advisory board meeting will be the 29th at Palmer Junior Middle. Thank you.
Are there any questions? I enjoyed being there last time.
So. Yes, thank you for joining.
Okay. Now we come down to the consent agenda. Entertain a moment, a motion to approve the consent agenda.
Madam Vice President, I would like to pull 12-088, permission to expend a grant.
We need to put the agenda forward and then we can pull it up.
I move the consent agenda. A, minutes February 1st, 2012. B, 12-087, permission to apply for Alaska's digital sandbox. C, 12-088, permission to expand a grant. I3 Teacher Mentor Project Grant.
Okay, is there a second?
Second.
Okay, motion was made to approve the consent agenda by Member Cordero, seconded by Member Larson. Okay.
I would like to pull 12-088, permission to expend a grant, out for discussion.
Okay, is there a second?
Second.
Okay. Been moved and seconded to pull 12-088 out for discussion. So we'll go ahead and approve items A and B, or at least try to approve items A and B, and then come back for item C. Is that reasonable for everybody? Okay. So are any objections to moving items A and B? Hearing no objections, those items pass. Item C, your question.
Well, yes, this would appear to be a teacher mentor grant, and as I read this, it gave me a bit of a fright. It says $1.5 million over 3 years, and it says here funds will be used to support 2.5 FTE teacher mentor positions in each of the 3 years. Funds will also provide mentors and mentee opportunities for training and travel. First of all, I kind of have a bit of a bother the fact that we're going to hire a couple more people to work for in a grant, and we're laying off people. This is something I do not understand. And as I look around this room, I can see probably 25 people that I would consider to be mentor teachers. And why do we need to get this grant and hire 2.5 more people to work in the mothership, and we're laying off people in the classroom? This is the part I don't understand.
Okay. Dr. Promo.
Through the Vice President, then you will be delighted, because the 2.5 teachers will come from the employees of the Mat-Su School District, the teacher leaders, for which we already have. By hiring 2.5 teachers to become teacher leaders and assist their colleagues, which are called early career teachers, they would be first-year teachers, second-year teachers, what will happen is if we receive this money to keep 2.5 more FTE, and they are our employees already, this isn't an outside hire, it gives an opportunity for the teachers of Mat-Su, who are exceptional teachers, to become mentors, which opens up 2.5 slots in the schools so that 2.5 more people are not laid off. So this actually assists with the two items that you brought up. Honor our own teachers, hire our own. That is absolutely what's going to happen. Number two, we want to avoid laying off teachers. If we receive these grants for 2.5 more teachers over the 3 years, that's 2.5 more teachers that will not be laid off over those 3 years if revenue doesn't come to fruition.
Through the chairman. So these teachers are going to be in the classroom teaching kids, and then after the duty day, then they're going to do mentorship. Is that what I'm getting from it?
Through the Vice President, no. These teachers will be in the classrooms working with the teachers while the teachers teach, but each person would be mentoring different teachers. So they're building the capacity in teachers, which is a regulation of NCLB to provide professional development. We would rather, in even our 2A, hire our own folks, have them be employees, live in our valley, spend money here, and teach our teachers rather than hiring outside folks to come in off contract. So this is a mentor program. 2 years ago we assisted. It's an I-3 grant, which is a national competitive grant.
we actually participated 2 years ago in writing it to be able to bring mentors to MetSU. If you recall, the state mentor project they narrowed their funds, so they did not provide the large districts did not have a share in the state program. And so to I guess make that fair and let us have our share, if you will. We worked with the university to write a grant to allow our teachers the same mentoring opportunities as teachers in smaller districts.
Through the chair again.
Mr. Lacy.
So we're going to have two of our teachers teaching teachers for 3 years. Is that correct? In the classroom. Yes.
They would be mentors, yes.
Okay, so at the end of this 3 years, what happens to those two teachers that weren't in the classroom that we have no teacher? Are they going to be put back into a classroom, or are they going to be somehow laid off? What's going to happen?
The folks that will probably take these positions probably have many years. They're tenured teachers. So, yes, they would remain employees of the district. Just like when I might work at Colony High 1 year and then I might want to try middle school the next, all teachers have an opportunity to apply for jobs for which they are qualified for, and they apply and they interview, and then they're in those slots. If I had to guess, we are going to grow in enrollment, because I believe that the budget presentation that we presented is correct. What would probably happen is the teachers that stayed hired this year because two mentors moved up would probably still remain in 2 years, because they would be more senior than someone new. Someone new just wouldn't be hired if we had to make reductions in 2 years. So basically, today, we're saving 2.5 positions for the next 3 years. But we'll probably grow more than 2.5 positions with kids.
Does anybody have any other comments? Okay.
I move 12-088, permission to expand the grant, I-3 teacher mentor project grant.
Okay.
Then second.
Moved by Member Cordero, seconded by Member Larson to move item C 12-088. Is there any objection? Hearing no objection, that passes unanimously. We're coming down to the action items. So I will entertain a motion for item A.
I'll move 12-076, second reading, Board Policy 6020, Parental Involvement.
I'll second that.
Okay. The motion was made by Member Cordero, seconded by Member Lacy, to move item 12-076, the second reading of the Parental Involvement Act. Is there a staff report?
Madam Vice President, there is not a staff report. However, we are available should you have questions in regard to this item.
Can we just have a quick rundown as to why this is before us?
Yes, we are updating the parental involvement item as per NCLB regulations. We do have a parent involvement policy, and as you can see, there's just been renewed language in there. We have staff and parents working on that. It's something that came before you in non-action last time. I can certainly request Mr. McPhail to come forward if further information is needed.
Member Larson?
I'd like to ask Mr. McPhail a couple questions if I could, please. Through the chair. All right, go ahead. Now, this is a wording policy change. Is that correct on just a few of these things? What's that going to do to the policy to make it more efficient?
It doesn't change anything in the policy. Basically, what we did was added stakeholders. As a part of that, we had parent involvement within our group as we prepared for this.
Any other questions? Mr. McPhail, there's the mention of the McKinney-Vento Act. Would you remind us what that's about?
McKinney-Vento is the Homeless Act, in which I won't say recently, but over the past couple of years have been involved in this here. So we had to put that into the parent involvement piece here.
Okay. Yes. Member Larson.
The last paragraph, trying to read in my computer here, states the superintendent will provide the coordination, technical assistance, and other supporting necessary to assist schools in planning and implementing effective parenting involvement to improve student achievement, academic, and school performance. That's very dear to my heart, and I'm very interested in that. So is it possible that we can, down the line somewhere, get a little report on how that policy is put into effect and how it can be, how it's being worked to be improved? Because parent involvement is the key to any kid's education.
Yes, you can get a report on that. One of the things I'll just briefly say is over a period of a month, we worked on this parent involvement piece here that you have before you. So again, not only did we just have parents involved in this here, but we also had CCS a part of this here, some community groups also. So yes, we can get you a report on that.
Just the report I'm looking at, maybe at the end of the year, just to discuss how that implementation of that policy is, how it's worked, and what can be used to improve next year so we can get parents involved. If we don't have parents involved in school, the kids are left on their own, and that's not good. So,
are there any other questions of staff? Okay. Thank you, Mr. McPhail. Is there anyone from the audience who would like to come speak about this item? Okay. Seeing there's no public comment, is there any comments anybody on the board wishes to make for or against this? Is there any objection to moving item 12? 076 BP 6020 parental involvement to move to approve. Is there any objection? No objection. It passes unanimously. Item B. There.
I move 12-081 Midnight Sun Charter School Calendar Amendment.
Is there a second?
I'll second it.
Okay. Motion was moved by Member Cordero, seconded by Member Lacey, to move item 12-081, the Midnight Sun Charter School Calendar Amendment. And this is requesting a makeup day to be scheduled on the 21st due to being canceled January 18th because of a power outage. Is there a staff report that is necessary?
We are here to answer questions. Madam Vice President?
Are there any questions? No questions. Is there anyone from the audience who wishes to speak on this? Seeing none, is there any discussion by board members? All those, is there anybody opposed or objecting to item 12-08, Midnight Sun Charter School Calendar Amendment? No objection. This passes unanimously. Item C. Item C, just for the audience to know, there's no staff report on student expulsions, and we do not take any public testimony. So item C.
I move 12-082 student expulsion case with recommendations from administration.
Okay. I'll second that.
All right. Motion was made by Member Cordero, seconded by Member Lacey, to move 12-082 student expulsion case E12-003 as per recommendations of the administration. Is there any objection? Hearing no objections, this passes unanimously. Item D.
I would like to move 12-083 student expulsion case E12-004.
Second.
Okay. Motion was made by Member Lacey and seconded by Member Larson to move item 12-083, student expulsion case E12-004. Is there any objection? Hearing no objection. It passes unanimously. Item E.
I would like to move 12-084, student expulsion case E12-005.
Second.
Okay. Motion was made by Member Lacey and seconded by Member Larson to move item 12-084, student expulsion case E12-006. Is there any objection? No. 005, sorry. Is there any objection? Hearing no objection, it passes unanimously. Item F.
I move 12-085, student expulsion case E12-006.
I'll second it.
Okay. Motion was made by Member Larson, seconded by Member Lacey, to move item 12-085, student expulsion case E12-006. Is there any objection? Hearing no objection, it passes unanimously. Item G.
I'd like to move 12-089, Palmer Area Schools Closure Makeup Day.
Is there a second? Need a second?
I'll second.
Okay. Motion was made by Member Lacey, seconded by Member Poulter, to move item 12-089, Palmer Area Schools Closure Makeup Day. Is there a staff report?
Thank you, Madam Vice President. I do have Jean Stone, who worked with the schools and input on the makeup day, but just wanted to remind everyone that this was just a local area cancellation. One of the toughest decisions that you're faced with in making at a moment's notice with the information you have is it safe to travel on the roads to get these children to school? And on this particular day, from all reports from the state troopers and as well as our own folks out there and in working with Anchorage, it was really the area along the Glen Highway that ran into Palmer and through Anchorage that was severe. Other areas in the valley were truly okay and actually better roads than others. So I made the decision to keep the kids in Palmer off the roads. Our buses literally could not stop going down the Butte area, Maud Road, things like that. We would hate for a bus to slide into students or other cars, other travelers. Kept our high school kids off the road from driving. We did have about 4,000 students in the Palmer area in a district of 17,500. And so I made the decision to keep the roads safe in the Palmer area, and the roads were very passable and safe in Wasilla for travel. So that's why the decision was made. There were a few calls that folks were upset who choose schools outside of Palmer and drive their own children there, and that we should have canceled their schools, too, because they have to drive out. And certainly we reminded all of our parents that we want them to make the best decision when they drive as well, that the schoolwork and the lessons will make every effort to provide those. And so this makeup day is for next Tuesday. It is a parent conference day. We are going to run the parent conference days longer on Monday and stay into the evening so that kids can go to school on Tuesday to make up their day. And then teachers will put in time extra at the conferences on a long night and provide other opportunities to stay when parents call and provide that customer service. So if there's any specific questions, I can probably I might ask Mr. Stone, who worked with the group of stakeholders on this.
Yes, I do have. I have two specific questions, and I think for clarification, I do have some people listening. So for starters, Colony High and Colony Middle, is that a Palmer school when it's referred to Palmer schools being closed down? There was a challenge there.
Well, they are located in Palmer. However, when we reported these schools, we actually listed each school. Colony High and Colony Middle roads were in better condition.
Right. So this doesn't, I guess, future. I have students that were in Colony, and they were very disappointed that their school was not closed, even though it said Palmer School. So a little bit clarification, because Colony is not necessarily in Palmer or Wasilla. So if we can just be clear there. Second question and concern is, I have parents and those listening online that if they decide not to send their student to school, parents are the highest authority in regards to their children, and if they don't think it's safe, they shouldn't. And is that an excused absence?
Yeah, when we have situations like that, we have told principals to please communicate with parents. If you feel that it's in the best interest of your student, that you don't feel that you can safely pass to school, then make that decision as a parent. Work with your school. We encourage all the principals to make sure that that message goes out, that make accommodations for the work, give additional time. But, yeah, by all means, we understand that we're going to have some of those decisions, especially given that we have boundary exceptions going on, people that travel outside of their boundary. We want to accommodate that.
So, to clarify those listening, if a parent who's the ultimate authority chooses to keep their kid home because of weather, then that is an excused absence. Is that correct?
It's still going to be an absence.
That's correct.
Yes.
The key word was excused.
Yeah.
Yes. Parents who, the way that it is an excused absence is the parent to communicate that is an excused absence. Our board policy provides language in there that when a student does miss, he or she may make up the work given the same amount of time in which they were out, and staff will provide the work. The manner in which an absence is excused is by the parent, him or herself.
Thank you for clarifying that. Thanks.
Any other discussion?
I just wanted to say one other thing. On the fiscal note, this memo was prepared on Friday, and so the transportation estimate was on Friday, as of Friday, was $12,709. That's been amended to reflect about $8,800, and that's a better reflection because of the we didn't have to run buses, and so that wasn't factored in that day. And then also the nutrition services, the initial estimate was $25, but again, those employees that missed that day will just make up that day. So that'll be offset. It'll be a zero nutrition cost.
Did we have to pay for the bus drivers to be there even though they couldn't drive?
No, we did not.
Right. So it should be a wash for what it costs. Okay. Is there anybody from the audience who wishes to speak? State your name for the record, please.
Jill Shulman, Matsu Education Association President. I just wanted to let you know I've been fielding some calls from employees that are a little concerned just because of they appreciate having the makeup day done now rather than at the end of the year, certainly, but they've had some prior commitments already made. And so just to remind, you know, the administration that because it's done, the decision was officially made, I believe, on Monday, and it's happening. The makeup day is a week later. There might be some staff members that will be going to their principals just to see if they can make other arrangements because they have prior commitments that evening. So, thank you.
Any board member comments or statements? Is there any objection to moving for approval item 12-089, Palmer Area Schools Closure Makeup Day? Hearing no objection, it passes unanimously. Item H.
I move 12-090, Academy Charter School Closure Makeup Day.
I'll second it.
Okay, moved by Member Cordero, seconded by Member Lacey. Item 12-090, Academy Charter School Closure Makeup Day, and they're requesting a makeup day for scheduled for February 20th. Is any other step.
It happened for similar reasons. Madam Vice President, Academy Charter is a Palmer school. They worked with their APC, and as you know, our charter schools, many of them have an independent calendar in which they work to create with their APC boards and a representative group of their parents. So this is Academy's specific request.
Is there any discussion? Any questions? Is there anybody who wishes to speak on this item? Okay. Any discussion by board members? Is there any objection to approving item 12090, Academy Charter School Closure Makeup Day? Hearing no objection, it passes unanimously. We are now into non-action items. Item A is a discussion item. It has to do with the Alaska Statutes 1420-177, compliance under state statute on tenured layoff. Dr. Prama.
Thank you, Madam Chair. This is provided to you as a discussion item, and I think it will relieve some anxiety that was referenced at the Willow meeting in regard to reduction in staff as well as at our budget meetings. Again, at this time, there would need to be a scheduled reduction in staff if the revenue that we know is coming to the district does not increase. Again, we know our revenue picture according to the SBA current number. There are a couple of bills out there that increases it. But this item is just to let the board know and our public know and our staff and students know that there is an Alaska statute 14.20.177. There are two provisions for which a district can lay off tenured teachers, and these are teachers that basically you're tenured on your first day of your fourth year of teaching. There are only two provisions in which tenured teachers can be laid off. Matsubara School District will not and does not meet either of those two provisions. The first provision is that the student enrollment decreases. We do not foresee the student enrollment of the Matsubara School District decreasing. What is occurring is that our fixed costs are increasing at a greater rate than revenue is increasing. That's why we have our structural deficit. The second provision is that your basic need, which is a portion of the calculation that we shared in the budget presentation, is that your basic need decreases by 3%. That generally happens, you know, your basic need is provided by your size of school. It also, one of the metrics that goes into your basic need is your enrollment, your ADM. And so because of our enrollment increasing, our basic need or the money coming into the district is not decreasing by 3%. In fact, it is if a bill goes through, it's going to be more. If it stays the same, it's not decreasing. So the basic need calculation for the district is not decreasing by our predictions by 3%. Therefore, we'd like administration, would like the board to know that Matsubara School District will not and can't, we cannot, administration recommend, nor will the board, I'm assuming, recommend any tenured layoffs. So we just wanted to clarify this for our stakeholders that are in our community and wanted to share the statute.
Any questions from the board?
Can we take a break, Madam
Chair?
Well,
we just have one more action item or non-action item, and then we can take a break.
Okay.
Well, I'd like to get...
I second that break.
Okay, we'll take a 10-minute break here, folks.
Thank you.
The second non-action item is a discussion item on the legislative blue book. We've been given these blue books tonight, so we have not had a chance to look through them. Are you going is the plan to walk us through it? Dr. Framo.
Thank you, Madam Chair. We do have the legislative blue book, which is really our instructional program and costs. There's a disc there that you can also view it electronically. If you'd like to leave your books to have them recycled, certainly you may do so. We will provide things electronically or in paper at the board's request. This was an item that, an information that we shared with our delegation. Of course, the board has their legislative priorities that were created, and it really talked about the language in statute and some of the language for increase in funding. And we had about, I believe, about 10 items that early on the board voted on in December. However, this is really a compilation, if you will, of our programs, of the initiatives that the board has made through their strategic plan, and what we look forward to in the future. We present this because, as you know, the Alaska legislature is appropriated monies to be able to bring back to their community to make their community better, and they provide in the fire department, police department, the borough level, roads, and schools. So functions of the government they're able to support with their funds. And in this book, you'll just see a general executive summary overview. And within that overview, it speaks to five main items that are district-wide that are in line with board requests. And I can specifically discuss those. Again, one of the objective items was Alaska Middle College School, for which you named last meeting. And we're requesting funds to assist with the startup. We did receive word that the school will be awarded as an alternative school, but it won't have the 125 students, and therefore, by the calculations of that goes through the basic need for funding, it will be rolled into the will receive funding similar to Wasilla High. And Wasilla High, again, is a large attendance area. So we're requesting from the state to make up those other funds in the first year of operation to get the school going. Second, another large item, which is a board initiative, is infusing science, technology, engineering, and math into our schools and classrooms. This is under the tab Instructional Priorities. STEM, of course, these requests are for capital primarily. We do have teachers in our classrooms. What we're requesting is the training. Training in STEM and other National Math and Science Foundation initiatives is expensive. We would like to pay for the teachers' training as well as the supplies needed in their classrooms. The next item was one that was previously mentioned. It was to make whole the playground equipment and technology equipment for the six charter schools, including additionally Berriosova. We did add in there in our CAPSIS report. That was truly to make whole what we could not make whole at this time on the bond that occurred in October. On that bond, these six schools did receive $75,000 each. We're finding it difficult to get the EED approval, therefore we're requesting a straight provision. Next, to be more innovative and offer choice and customer service, the five area high schools initially for the funding, and then we would use alternate money for our smaller high schools. When we build Valley Pathways, we would build a cyber center into it. This is an area, if you will. Hopefully we will be using this exact boardroom for a cyber center for children. They can choose to go to their neighborhood school, but have many different choices and expertise of teachers across the district where they could have a blended learning of e-learning as well as traditional classroom learning. And we want to create centers that have the speed that students are used to, the speed in the bandwidth and the like, so that they'd have more choices in their coursework. We don't want to say you either have e-learning or you go to a school in a neighborhood. We want to say you can go to your neighborhood school and you can have different modalities for learning. This was in response to a survey in which 85% of employers now in post K-12, programs and job sites require online training. Many in the real world, as they speak, use online training for their employees. So we want our kids to have these same skills and expertise when they leave. So we want to have a blended e-learning with traditional learning. And then finally, as our school district and our state, rather, has the highest percentage of veterans per capita in the nation, we want to provide more opportunities for student service and leadership through an additional JROTC program. The new program, if awarded, will be located in the Wasilla area, and we will run the programs as capstone programs, allowing for students, if it were to be located in the Wasilla core area, students from Houston would be provided transportation in, similar to career and technical school. So we want to offer opportunities for our students in many coursework as well as programs. These are only five of the large district initiatives that you have set forth in initiatives at your retreat. However, we do have over 100 programs and requests made by individual schools. The two largest requests made by schools are to actually build schools. Fronteras and American Charter Academy have 10 million dollar requests in. Again, this CAPSIS system is a statewide organized system to provide monies to local districts in the form of gifts. So we are worked with all principals and their schools to request the types of gifts and additions and added value they would like in the capital form to their buildings. You'll see everything from additional technology to replacement of old and broken lockers to playground equipment and the like. So there's a lot to move through. In addition, we wanted our legislators to know that our school board has promised results and that we are in Mat-Su a good place to invest. And so you'll see that there will be a tab demonstrating our evidence in both academics and our post-outcome survey data. We have K-2 data in reading that is outstanding. We have SBA data where Mat-Su in every grade level, every subject, scores higher than the state mean year after year after year. We have an increased graduation rate and a decreased dropout rate over the last 5 years. And we have a post-outcome survey that was positive. So at all levels, Mat-Su is a place to invest. And so we wanted our legislators to love on us a little bit here in Mat-Su and provide them the evidence I believe that they deserve, that if they are providing funds, what is the return on their investment? We wanted to share that in Mat-Su, we get things done. There you have your legislative blue book that was shared, and quite a bit of projects, including but not limited to the board's objectives for the superintendent this year.
Does anybody have any questions? I think we will come back with questions next time. And if people have questions, please submit them so that the answers can be researched if they're not readily available. Okay. We're down.
I do have a question. Is it through the chair? Is it safe to assume that you work with this with our lobbyist? And are these items that you think are actually possible? Like, there's a potential to actually get them?
Through the chair, Absolutely. I am feeling very positive. It was, we were welcomed into each of our delegation's office, spent actually many hours with some members discussing the specific needs. And actually, before I returned yesterday, Mr. Stone fielded several calls from the assistants of the legislators and or the representatives and senators for assistance in more specifics and detail. So we that was very encouraging. So while I was flying back, they were already working on the detail needed, additional detail. And so we were well received. I believe the organization of the document was well received. Each item, as you notice in the back of the book, is organized by district so that either the senator or the representative can open up to his or her district and say, how do I want to help my constituents in their schools? And so we organized it for them to access easily. And again, these were the inputs that the principals worked with their staff and parents to say, what, how do we want to add value here? We want to provide every opportunity for our delegation to add value to the schools here in the Matsubara School District.
And one more question.
Member Cordero.
Actually, so is the total monetary value $150,000 for everything that is in this $150 million? What's the total value of everything contained in this book?
Well, just the CAPSIS projects is a little over $56
million. Okay.
And then we put in the bond projects to so our representatives could look. For example, I also received a call, and the question was, why didn't we request anything for Valley Pathways? And I was able to point out, well, in the back of the book, you'll see that the voters approved a new building for Valley Pathways. So.
Okay. Thank you.
Anybody else? Member Larson.
You said the principals submitted what they wanted. Did you guys go over that before it went into the blue book, I assume, on some sort of committee, or how'd that work?
Yes, we did review it for the appropriateness of a capital project. Many times what came through was staffing, and that's really handled through operational monies. And so we just had to clarify. So if it was, say, for the STEM initiative, what kind of items can't we afford that would really add value to the kids in the classrooms? What do the teachers want? So we couldn't really buy personnel, and so we had to really vet out those that were more personnel and turn them into more of supplies and equipment and things that would enhance the instruction that occurs with the teachers.
Any other questions? Future items. Well, we have a March 7th meeting. Is there anything that needs to go on that hasn't already been discussed?
Just as either a discussion item or a report so we can actually talk about it. The Member Powger brought up the 7-period day, so I think that it would be good to be able to talk about it.
Yes. Anything else? Member Lace.
We need to schedule a subcommittee for our electronic policy.
Yes. And I don't have my book with me tonight, but we'll look at next.
When Member Dunleavy gets back.
Yeah. We'll look probably next Friday, maybe. A week from. Okay. Is there anything else? Member Lars?
Yeah, just for future items, are you going back to Juneau, and is some of the board going down too? Or
board went down this last weekend and you went down. There's more fly-in opportunities coming up, I believe, right at the end of session.
Madam Chairman?
Yes.
The School Board Association is having another fly-in, I think, the middle part of March for the school board to go down again.
Thank you.
Anything else? Okay, March 20th is a joint assembly school board meeting, and mostly that's going to be budget, I would assume, and information on where we are
Pardon me?
Is there anybody that can't make that?
Yeah. Is there anybody who cannot make that meeting? It's at 4 o'clock in the afternoon. I will be late to that because I teach until 4. Everybody seems to be okay with that. Okay, and then our regular school board meeting March 21st, and that will probably be our final on our budget. We will have probably the budget public hearings will be those meetings, right? The next meeting. Okay. Anything else? If you have anything, please get it to Stacy. Yeah.
When's the next school site selection committee meeting?
It's March. I don't have my book, but is it 8th? 9th?
And did they change the time?
No, it's still 3 to 5.
Thank you.
And we do need to have a staff member there this next time, please.
Sure.
Yes. At least we should have someone there from the staff. Okay. It's a Thursday. Whichever day is the Thursday. Okay. Anything else? Okay. We now come down to the time for persons to be heard on non-agenda items. And the information about non-agenda items, I will read it again. The speaker states his or her name for the record. The speaker is limited to 3 minutes per meeting. The speaker is limited to non-agenda items. Agenda items will be open for public comment as they appear. Well, they've appeared. The speaker's comments should be appropriate for all audiences, including school-aged children. The speaker is limited to comments of a general nature, positive or negative, which may not be attributable to any specific individual. Issues involving concerns specific to any individual should be submitted in writing and given to the board clerk to be resolved. The issue may be determined to be appropriate for persons to be heard or may be handled in executive session or may be routed through a more appropriate complaint process. No disturbance or willful interruption of any board meeting shall be permitted. Persistence by an individual or group shall be grounds for the chair to terminate the privilege of addressing the meeting. The board may remove disruptive individuals and order the room cleared if necessary. This is not a question and answer time. Speakers may be referred to the superintendent or designee or take the issue under advisement. And that's the last half hour. Is there anyone who wishes to come forward? I'm going to ask again. Is there anyone who wishes to come forward? Okay, we close this part of persons to be heard and correspondence and board committee reports. Member Gaddis? Nothing? Member Larson? So that we had the site selection committee. Did you wish to... update?
Sure. I'll update in regards to the site selection, and I'm going to go from memory. We've gone through a lot of back and forth on the school site selection in regards to charter schools and so on, but our last one, we did agree to a charter school site selection, and I think that contentiousness is over, and it's going to the borough. We did agree to have I guess it would be called a licensee, I've been told. It's not a broker. It's not a real estate agent, but it's called a licensee. But in my mind, it's a realtor that is going to go out and get the 5 properties and determine through the matrix a backup. It's been determined through the matrix what the top 5 properties are, and we'll start negotiating. So I think by March 8th, we should know and we should have been brought to the table which property boils and bubbles up as number one. For Kinnick Elementary, Kinnick Middle and High, excuse me. And Valley Pathways is moving on. I'm trying to, Iditarod Elementary is still in negotiations, and let me think, at the end of the day, I think that's where we are. So we are moving on. It's unfortunate. I thought that Kinnick Middle High hopefully would have a site, and they would be digging dirt this summer. And I think the plan is to start next spring. So in my mind, we're a year behind, but I think that there are a lot of people thought we're just moving too fast. So that's the update.
There was a request for if there were any other charter schools that wanted sites to come forward, and that was the request of the committee to let them know. Is there any other committees that met?
Yes, yep. Madam Speaker.
Mr. Lace.
I was at the after-school activities meeting. The grand plan, or part of the grand plan, was to do a joint venture between the school district and the AT&T Sports Center to bring junior high school kids in and give them exercise and structured learning from some teachers that they have on their payroll. LeBron McPhail and Catherine Ussery worked their little tails off and had our component of that project ready. Their component is lagging, so that is not going to happen right this very school year. But on the plus side, a lot of our schools are doing after-school programs through Title I money, and that's going gangbusters right now. And LeBron said that we could probably increase that, and that is our target audience with this after schools program. So,
okay. Good. Anything else to report? Any correspondence? Okay, we're down to comments.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Mr. Forrest? Mr. Stone? I don't have any further comments. Thank you.
Member Delaney.
I have a few things that I just wanted to comment on. First and foremost, I was just looking at the special recognitions page, and I'm really glad that all of these students were recognized. There's some pretty amazing accomplishments on this list, and it's very cool that they were brought forward. I also wanted to say that in light of Board Appreciation Month, on behalf of myself, the Student Advisory Board, and all of the students at the MASU, we just really appreciate all of your hard work and your dedication, and we're really honored to have you as our advocates. And just to show our appreciation, we have a small gift for each of the members of the board. So thank you very much.
Thank you. Member Mitchell is passing out gifts.
This is right straight to my heart. I love. Thank you. My daughter will have these gone by Friday.
Thank you very much.
You know that big thing of nuts you gave us? We had that gone in 2 weeks. Yeah, we eat a lot of nuts. It is healthy, very healthy.
Comments from board members. Mr. Lacey.
On Friday, I flew down to Juneau as part of the Alaska State School Board Association's legislative fly-in to try and, well, I kind of hate the word lobby, trying to get those people to understand our position in education. It was quite a learning experience, and I believe that at least I tried to formulate some dialogue between the legislators that I talked to, about 25 of them actually. I think it was well worth it. House Bill 171 right now, I believe, is in the Finance Committee, and that is the bill for the to increase the basic student allocation. I don't know the whole story on the transportation, but Dr. Paramo and Ken Forrest were down there, and they carried a lot of water up the hill on those issues. And we as a school board have done a lot to try and get the basic student allocation raised. So thank you.
Member Cordero.
Thank you for all the hard work on the Blue Book. I will certainly be reading it for the next couple of days. I will be participating in the leadership conference next week, and the topic that I will be covering is time management, so I'm looking forward to it. Thank you.
All right. Member Larson.
I, too, appreciate the Blue Book. When this came out last year and this year, this is the second year for this, I believe, it's made a real large impact, and it just is total transparency for our legislators. Delegation, as well as all the legislators and staff down there. And I also want to throw in again how much I appreciate the Board Connect. And that update is amazing compared to when I first got on the board. I really like that update. And all the hard work that's put into it, I'm sure it's it just doesn't happen. You know, there's a lot of work put into it, and I appreciate it. Thank you.
Member Gaddison.
I would like to thank our spokesperson, Catherine Essery, for her Facebook, her Twitters. When we had such bad weather, I got lots of compliments. I sometimes think we're remiss when we sit around this horseshoe and we remind each other, but boy, I tell you what, this school district has stepped up to the plate in regards to social media, and I know that not all people are on Facebook, but boy, there sure are a lot. So, fine job. Thank you very, very much.
Member Belcher.
I did receive quite a few calls over the week. One of the most interesting was a parent of a student who goes to Valley Pathways said she went down the road one day and there were four cars that had gone off students on their way to school. France Road, she complains that it's not plowed wide enough and it's never sanded, and she thinks it's dangerous for her students. So if we can work with, I think it would be the city of Palmer on France Road. Also, I went to a baseball booster meeting and found out that Herman Brother Field is not going to be available to Colony or Palmer High School this year because of some sod problems. I'm not sure what it was. But that means that our Palmer and Colony boys will be playing baseball at the Borough Building right out in front. I don't think those fields have had a lot of work done on them, and I'm wondering what we can do to get those fields up to snuff for high school players.
Said I did manage to go to the Justice Coalition this morning, and LeBron McPhail was there with me, and we had someone from Rochelle, and I still will invite any of you to come to that early morning meeting. We do talk about the issues with youth, and the Justice Coalition has been around as a loose organization for more than 20 years, and it's the people are trying to network and work concerning the problems of youth. We've had an increase in the problems with the artificial marijuana stuff. All they do is change one molecule in the way it's produced, and it becomes legal then. And so it just keeps coming back and coming back. And so we have terrible problems with that and the
stuff called bath salt. We also have the juvenile shelter, and Dorothy Saxton Shelter is back up and running. It has had times when it hasn't been, and so for some of our homeless youth, there is a possibility of a place to stay short. But they also have a level 3 therapeutic home for girls at the Rosa House, and that is now being staffed. They had problems staffing it. It's now up and running, and so there's some help for some of our kids. Also, at noon today, my Rotary Club we received a presentation from the Burchell counselor, and our club has been doing a lot of work with the homeless youth and working with Burchell High, and the presentation by the counselor was excellent. A lot of the business people who aren't really aware of what's going on in the schools were very impressed with the work that Burchell is doing, and I wanted us all to know about that as well. That's all I have. I appreciate this opportunity to be the chair, and I hope that the things ran smoothly. We now have an executive session. I'll entertain a motion to go into executive session.
I move to go into an executive session. Matters immediate knowledge of which would clearly have an adverse effect upon the finances of the government unit. Subjects that tend to prejudice the reputation and character of any person, provided the person may request a public discussion. Matters which by law, municipal charter, or ordinance are required to be confidential. Matters of confidential legal counsel or pending litigation. We will be discussing negotiations update, superintendent evaluation, litigation update, and the board will be there, Superintendent Paramo, Ken Forrest, Terry Hanneman, and Katie Gardner. Thank you.
I'll second it.
Okay. Motion was made by Member Cordero and seconded by Member Lacey to go into executive session. Is there any objection? No objection. We go into executive session. We'll say good night to all of you out there. When we come out, there's really nothing else that we will be doing. So we'll see you.